You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Old Dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic, the REI cleanse. But before we get started, I just want to say, hey, guys, I hope you're doing well. And I hope that, this has been a good start for the year for you. I really think 2020 is kicking it for real estate investing. If you haven't started, this is the year to get started. So I'm just want to encourage you. Hey, if you have some questions, send them to us. We'll try to answer them. If we can't do it by email or in person, we will maybe even put it on our Ask Bill section, segment. So either way, we're here to help. And if we can help you to get motivated and get going, we'd love to. Hey, just a quick little tip of the day. I think I'm kind of just moving into this tip of the day things on Fridays. So, not like I'm copying Bigger Pockets with their quick tip, thing. No, this is just people, want some substance, before I get started on the topic, some just quick things they can grab onto. Number one here, networking. So important. You guys got to be networking. It's like so critical. There's so many people that are involved in this process, and you should be meeting new people all the time that could be potential partners. They could be people that are selling properties, maybe that might want to buy your properties. Maybe it's an attorney or a CPA. Maybe it's a lender. I mean, there are so many people we need to know. And sometimes you got to know a lot of them before you find a real good one, too. Sometimes it's like finding a good broker or finding, a good lender. So how do you do that? Some of the ways, one local REIA club, you can look up REIA, I think, and you'll find where these clubs are. And if there's one that's near you, start going. Start meeting people. There's also meetup.com. There's a lot of real estate investing focused meetings that are happening all the time in different neighborhoods that you might want to link up with. That's a great place. I do this thing called Bigger Pocket Coffees that I do, and I'll try to connect with people locally here because I invest out of state, so I don't really have a lot of people that I'm working with locally. So this is the way I can meet locals and just, you offer to buy them coffee and meet them locally. And so you find somebody on Bigger Pocket that's close by and it could end up being somebody you end up working with or partnering with. You never know. Also, you can form your own group or mastermind. Meetup.com, you can just start a group instantly. A lot of people are doing these masterminds, like multimedia masterminds, flipping masterminds, all these different things, which is another possibility. And then there's those that, just are a little uncomfortable starting their own group and so forth. And what some people have done real successfully is getting Kiyosaki's Cashflow 101 game. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's a great game. It's kind of like Monopoly on steroids. And anyway, it's a great way to network with people, also learn principles that are valuable to your investing, but ultimately to make connections and start to meet some people nearby. So those are a few things you can do networking wise. It should be part of your strategic plan to be meeting people on a regular basis, sometimes weekly, sometimes monthly, whatever it is, as long as you're broadening out that sphere of contacts. Let's move into our topic, the REI cleanse. So what in the world am I talking about, an REI cleanse? This is not like a drink or something that, you know, kind of cleans you out for the next 3 years or something. But basically, it is something that we have to look at. I talked about recently in episode 380 about the REI do-over, right? Sometimes there's times where you just have to totally change directions. And sometimes it's triggered by the economy. Sometimes it may be personal issues. But we have to be flexible as a real estate investor. It should be a regular part of our sort of adapting, refining, and re-engineering for success. Find the things that work, move in that direction, discard the things that don't work. And so that's kind of that idea. Is I think Gary Keller has a book, it's for real estate agents, about I think it's called The Shift or something, or Shift, and it's kind of that idea, but he's talking more about when things affect you that you don't have control over. But one great thing about real estate investing is you're the boss, guys, and you can decide where you want your business to go and what you want your business to do, what kind of properties or real estate investing you want to do. You know, do you want to do mobile home parks? Do you want to do, you know, storage units or apartment buildings or hotels or you know, big box buildings and commercial or whatever it may be. So there's a lot of different areas to go. But I think as you start to work in real estate investing, you see what works for you. Where are those areas where you really enjoy, but also where you really seem to maximize and get the maximum return and, you know, hopefully the maximum enjoyment in what you're doing. And this is what I call the REI cleanse, okay? This is really a time where you just kind of get rid of some of the extra stuff that's bogging you down, slowing you down, maybe bringing you somewhere you don't want to go. Maybe you've been holding on to something for too long. And so for me, this is just a realization I had to come to, and it came to a head, you know, just sort of at year end. And I said, you know, I've got these smaller properties. They've been great for me for the years that I've had them. They cash flowed. They did a lot of good stuff. I had my challenges with them, and I've shared a lot of those on my show. But this is what I'm basically doing, is I'm cashing out on my smaller properties. And there's a lot of reasons why I'm doing that. One of the reasons is because I really am trying to stay focused primarily in multifamily. That's really where I see my best return and the place I really want to be. And if you wonder why multifamily, I'll add some extra links in here in the show notes that you can kind of go to some of those episodes where I came to that revelation. But you know, in this, I'm looking at primarily, I have these old C properties, and I really want to just only focus on B's now. And I also had an episode I'll reference in here too, why I don't want to buy C properties anymore. And they can be great. C properties generally are known for high returns. But sometimes too, there's a reason why you get that high return, is because it does cost you in other ways. And even though you may be getting a high return, there may be a lot of other effort required. You may have to pay in other ways, times and headaches that you might have to endure, stuff like, you know, struggling with a decent tenants, for example, maybe having to deal with evictions or tenant damage to your property. Maybe it's tough to find good property managers because they don't want to be in the area you're in. Often see properties, because they're a little bit older, they have repairs and maintenance issues that can be costly, and it's time intensive. You know, you're focusing on these properties, you're trying to put out fires, trying to make things better there, and hopefully you do make the correction you need to. But because of the nature of a C property, it does have a higher risk, and so that is, you know, that's one of the issues. And if you're an old dog and you're looking at this as a passive form of cash flow, then you really have to evaluate whether or not those properties are being passive or they're being a full-time job for you. And you have to look at that, because one of the things I know that I want to do is spend more time with my spouse, my family, my grandkids, you know, doing the kind of stuff you want to do in your retirement. If it stops being a passive income investment, then you need to look and evaluate. I'm not saying everybody needs to sell off their smaller properties by any means. I'm just saying this is a revelation that I came to. And so that's really, you know, where this is going, is the idea of kind of getting at some of the stuff out of the way and making way so that I can focus more directly in the areas that I need to. I'm also looking at different markets, and some markets maybe aren't as strong as I thought that they would be when I first bought in those markets. And so I'm seeing more opportunity in other markets. That's also a good reason too, to move. Sometimes you have, even within a good market, you may have something go sour in your neighborhood, for example, where your properties are located. And that's another motivation there to kind of evaluate whether you're going to move or do otherwise. Also, you know, it's if you are thinking of doing this, this is a good time to sell. It's the seller's market out there, definitely, and you can get top dollar for your properties, and you know, depending on the market, of course, but generally you're not going to get higher rates than you're probably going to get right now. So yeah, I am basically going to be, you know, selling these. I'm going to be using the funds for a number of things, to pay off some debt, for capital projects on the properties I want to hold on to, and to build up reserves, because I believe, you know, that there will eventually be a market correction, and I want to be able to have the cash to be able to respond to that. Also, just to pinpoint my focus is better for me, especially as I put my 2020 plan together, is I want to be focused in a specific area, and I don't want to be drawn into these other things that are taking away from my goals for 2020 and beyond. Now, in the beginning, you know, I know if you've listened to the show for a while, you know, I received some inheritance funds. I was looking to diversify my investment portfolio, and plus I wanted some tax advantages to offset that large influx or that large cash gift. I wanted something truly passive. I thought real estate would meet my needs, and what did I do? When I decided real estate was it, I kind of did what a lot of people do, is you kind of, you know, instead of jumping in off the diving board into the pool, and I kind of just put my foot in the water a little bit to see how it felt. And that's what I did. I started buying smaller, less expensive properties. And why? Well, they were cheap was one, and it definitely appealed to me. I didn't quite understand the dynamics of why they were cheap, but later on I did. It was easier to buy these homes. I bought a home before I knew how to do it. I owned my own home, so I knew what was involved. And I thought, you know, the single family homes is where I wanted to go. Plus, I also saw it as less risk because I diversified. I bought a bunch of inexpensive properties that if something went bad, I could unload one. It wouldn't hurt as much, right? But it's interesting because I when I first started off, I didn't even think about multifamily because it just seemed way far off. And that was something that people that had much more experience and background than I did would do. But what's really interesting is, especially as I've done this podcast, is I've met so many great people, fascinating people. And there were those people whose first real estate investment was an apartment building. And I was amazed at this when I first heard about it. I said, that's crazy. You know, I mean, I wouldn't even thought of doing that because, you know, first off, you know, apartment building, it seems so big and intimidating. You know, I knew I didn't have the knowledge yet. I mean, it's just starting in real estate investing. And I thought if I make some mistakes, they're going to cost big time. So I was, you know, very apprehensive to do that. These other people, as I interviewed them, the more and more of them that it just started off that way, I go, man, you know, this is feasible. And this is something that I tell friends and others that I know they're interested in real estate investing, is if you could do it, do it. start off with an apartment building if that's where you want to go. I mean, some people just love, you know, it's so much easier sometimes when you have all these individual homes, you can get rid of a few of them, kind of like what I'm doing now. And then, you know, that you don't have to like sell the whole thing, right? If you've got a dog of an apartment, you're stuck with it, you know. But, you know, the people that I've talked to, that, you know, this was their thing, which I thought was very interesting, is that most of those that were successful, they got involved in some sort of a coaching program, okay? And I know a lot of you are going, oh no, the gurus. And, you know, and that's what I was doing too, because I was falling for all kinds of guru stuff. I mean, you know, gurus that were involved in, you know, wholesaling and flipping and all these other areas. And I have my, you know, bookshelf full of all these programs and stuff. But yeah, I kind of zeroed in on rental property because that, to me, made more sense in the long run. It seemed a lot less intensive in terms of time. But as I found with C properties, that wasn't necessarily the case. So what the people that did start off, this is what they you know kind of did, is that you know they would. Some of them would go into the expensive coaching programs. Sometimes they would find, let's say, a wealthy, experienced partner that they would, that somebody that's experienced, but somebody that maybe needs, you know, someone else that'll go out and find the deals and analyze and do all that stuff. But, I didn't have anybody like that. I didn't have the coach, didn't have the money for the coaching, didn't have the contacts to be able to partner with somebody. So, you know, could I have done what they did? I could have taken some of the investment capital that I used to buy these houses, and I could have paid for the, you know, the education. And, you know, I mean, that's what a lot of these people that I've interviewed have done, is that they paid the $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 to get the, you know, the one-on-one coaching. But, you know, there are those that regret it, and there are those that did well. And, I happen to be talking primarily to those that did well. Their issue was, you know, if I'm paying that much money, I'm going to make sure that I get somebody that is going to help me achieve my goals. That's what some of these people did. And what I've found out, you know, since then is that there are, you know, some good programs out there. And I don't recommend generally to people, but they're, if you do your due diligence, I think you might be able to find them. And the good thing is they do educate you, and that's the key thing. And I thought that they were all just about education, and then you're on your own. They give you templates and things like that, and analyzers and tools that you can use to find properties. But the good ones, okay, they don't just, you know, send you on your way after you complete the program, as they actually, you know, stick with you through your first deal, which is actually pretty cool. And that means that they will stay with you until you get that first deal completed, which is what they should do, I think, for that kind of money, especially. And again, not saying all of them, some of the ones that I've seen a lot of success come out of, they help you to find the money even. Sometimes they have their own funds. Sometimes they will find you a sponsor that'll be able to provide you the funds you need to get started. They also have partnering and sponsorship events where you can network and meet sponsors, and they can connect you with sponsors. When you're buying an apartment building, it's a multi-million-dollar transaction, you may not qualify for the loans. And the lender may look at you and say you don't have the experience as well. But, you know, if you have a sponsor that has the experience and has the net worth, you can get those loans. And so just to be able to JV with somebody is invaluable. They can plug you into valuable network of others who are, in the same, you know, the same program you are. So you can meet people that maybe later on, as you guys start buying your own properties, will become successful too. And you can network with these folks and develop some good long-term relationships. I think in the beginning, it was just to me, I was reluctant. I did, you know, go to some boot camps early on, but the upsell and the pushy sales tactics and all that stuff really turned me off. And I just said, gee whiz, you know, these guys are just trying to sell me. And maybe they weren't. Maybe there actually did have something of substance in that. And I didn't really personally know anyone that had done it. If I had a friend, for example, that went through it and had succeeded, then that would have been a motivator there. But you know, the $20,000 to $40,000 or whatever was still a lot of money, and I was looking at the fact that, hey, I could buy a house for that. But you know, that's something that each person has to decide on their own. Nonetheless, the cleanse that I'm doing right now is, I think, a good move. If I could have, when I started back in 2014, I would have gone right into, you know, multifamily. But I didn't know it. And it took a lot of, you know, hands-on. I had to buy properties. In fact, it wasn't until I bought a duplex that I saw the value of you know, the idea of economies of scale. So I think that that's something that, you know, you may also come to as a conclusion somewhere down the road, or you may say, hey, I've got 10 homes, 12 homes. I'm happy. It provides the cash flow I'm looking for. They're in good areas. Boom, I'm done. You know, so it does depend on different people. For me, I think, you know, getting rid of some of these other C properties that really are labor intensive and time intensive, and really directing the energies, using those resources while I can get good prices for the properties, will be a good move for me. Anyway, that is it for today. That was the update on the REI cleanse. So, you know, if that's something that pertains to you, I hope it will be of value. Well, that's it for today. Please note, everything that I talked about will be in our extensive show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to look for the episode entitled The REI Cleanse. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening. And may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.